Okay, hello, 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 hello. My name's Carl Monaghan, and this is a Friday takeaway. These are little snippets of information, bite-sized chunks of things that will help you and support you in your journey to recovery from male pelvic pain conditions, including chronic pelvic pain syndrome and chronic prostatitis. So we're midway through February. If you're listening along, as they release. If you're not, then it could be any other time of the year for you. But what I have been doing over the past 6 weeks is my Friday takeaways have been building on a particular theme around your self-care, around ways that you can perhaps be more mindful around your self-care, things that you could do that will only help you create the right environment. Last week, I spoke about the set and the setting. So your mindset and the environment in which you are doing your self-care in. If you haven't checked that one out, then obviously do go back and listen, but also go back to the start of this year to get a run of ongoing recommendations and suggestions following a theme. Do, of course, listen to all of the episodes. Don't just focus on the ones from this year. but yeah, and today, I need to be really honest with you. I need to be really, really, really honest with you. I've been building this theme, walking you through like how difficult it can be, your pushing of a car analogy, working as an individual, working as a team, how you treat yourself, and what kind of things are going through your head when you're doing your self-care. So really building a really common theme here. What I need to be really honest with you about is if you do all of these things, I'd love to say that you're going to avoid a flare-up. I'd love to say that flare-ups will just never happen for you again if you followed my advice. I'm good. I'm not that good. I can't future-proof you against flare-ups. But what we can do is we can help to reduce their impact. We can look at the way we respond when they do happen and listen, they are going to happen. They're a natural part of recovery. Every patient who I take through the journey of recovery feels that they're going to be the ones that are going to escape from having flare-ups and they're going to be the ones that are going to sail through this. And that's okay. That's absolutely fine. It's great to have hope. In reality, it's quite different from that. And when a flare-up does hit, it can really hit hard, particularly if you have been having a run of good days or a good period, maybe weeks, maybe months. And then a flare-up hits, it can feel like you've fallen even further from the path. And it can really, really affect mood. It can affect our ability to focus and to remain consistent with our self-care. It can knock us for six, quite literally. But it is a natural part of recovery. In future podcasts, I'll talk about how we can use flare-ups as learning points, as learning opportunities, and how we can actually use them periods of adversity to propel us further forwards. But more on that in the future. So, if you do, so ways that you can help to reduce the chances of the flare-ups happening and the impact of them when they do is about being consistent. And that's been a really, really common theme that I've been running through the last 6 or 7 podcasts. It's about discipline, it's about sticking with the plan, it's about having the right attitude for that. That, if you can keep that consistency up, then you help to reduce the chances of future flare-ups and the impact of them because you're building this foundation. You're building a structure and a framework that adds more stability and more robustness to your being, to your system, because you're doing things regularly to calm it down. If you're inconsistent with the self-care, then what we see in clinic and what the research points to is that the flare-ups might be a little bit more inconsistent as well. Like there may not be the familiar patterns of, and I'll add a link to this as well, but I've done a video on YouTube about the water bottle. Well, you can't see that because I've got my green screen on. There we go. I'll put it in front of my face. The water bottle analogy, that when your water bottle fills up, then you're more likely to get closer to a flare-up. When your water bottle is filled up here with water, then you have very little in the way of affordances or allowances for you to be able to deal and cope with life. And so therefore we're much more reactive at that point. We're much more likely to get a flare up. We're much more likely to find we're agitated at all kinds of things. I'll put that in the link beneath to do go check out that water bottle video and why it's important to manage the water bottle through consistent self-care and bearing in mind some key principles within there, like duration of activity, intensity of activity, frequency of activity, and I also talk about rest in that video as well. So, yeah, remaining consistent with your self-care, it is likely to reduce the impact of your flare-ups when they do happen. And like I said, they are going to happen. How you respond to a flare-up. Let's give you an example of a patient I saw not this week, but the week before last week. That's how weeks work. And I was reflecting on it yesterday with a patient, and I gave the example of patient A. That was the one that was telling me about his reaction to pain. And I saw patient B yesterday, and I was telling patient B, conversation with patient A, and I was asking patient B to unwrap and to see if he could come up with a different way of responding to patient A's reaction to symptoms and a flare-up. So patient A's reaction to a flare-up when it happens is, I'm not going to swear, but I think you could probably guess the word that I'm going to substitute it for here. I flipping hate my pain when it comes along. I flipping hate my flare-ups. The word that I'm substituting there, just in case you're not clear, is flipping. You can insert your own other word in there as well, a more colourful word. But you kind of get you get the gist of what I'm saying here, right? And I get that, right? No one looks forward to pain. No one suffering with pelvic pain relishes pain. No one suffering with pelvic pain welcomes it in. Although if we could, and I'm playing devil's advocate here, if we could welcome that pain in, our relationship with it would be very different. So I said to patient A, patient B, sorry, I said to patient B, patient A flipping hates his pain. How could we help him to change this? How could we help him to change his reaction? And why might that make a difference when his symptoms do come along? And patient B was stumped for a little bit, but he thought about it. And I encouraged him to look at the language that was being used when a flare-up happens. And patient B yesterday said, well, if he flipping hates the pain, could he simply hate the pain? So when we label pain or symptoms, the label influences how we feel. All right. So if you flipping hate the pain, your response is going to be one of anger, one of rage, one of disappointment, one of a multitude of different emotions. If you hate the pain, that's downgraded a little bit. And what I find in my patients when they get closer and closer to recovery is, guess what? They're less and less bothered by the symptoms when they come along. A couple of reasons. They've probably learned to manage those flare-ups better. And through the consistency of their self-care, the flare-ups are probably much, much less invasive, have less influence over them, and have a lower pain scale, if you like, to them. So it becomes virtuous. The way you respond, the way you label a symptom, the way you label pain, and I'll do a podcast with Tim on this and it will expand this an awful lot more. But the way we label a symptom or we label pain dictates how we feel about that. Can you see that? Can you get what I'm saying here? I love pain. No, I don't expect you to say that, right? I'm being realistic here. But if you can have more of a neutral response to pain, a neutral label that you place upon the symptoms, you're more likely to be more neutral to them when they come along. This may feel well out of the realms of possibility if you're just starting with this. I get that. But you will see in time that your reaction and your response to symptoms can change, and that means that you will feel differently about them, and you will have a different flavor, a different taste to the flare-ups when they do occur. So remember, there's the water bottle video, which I'll put beneath here. There's also links to a free flare-up guide and free catastrophization guide. And what I talked to you about there, the labeling of your symptom, was how we manage catastrophization, one of many techniques we can use to manage catastrophization when symptoms do flare up or when we're struggling with pelvic pain. So I needed to be really honest with you. I needed to tell you that as much as you are doing your self-care, remaining disciplined, making the time, having the right set and setting, having the right mind approach, having the right attitude towards yourself, flare-ups are still going to happen. But there are ways that you can respond to the flare-ups that will dictate how you feel and your reaction to them as well. With a little bit of knowledge around a water bottle and some guides, some free guides, flare-up guides and catastrophization guides, then you're going to be much better placed to handle them when they do happen. That's it from me today. Next week, I'll be talking about Novak Djokovic and Cristiano Ronaldo. No, they don't have pelvic pain, as far as I'm aware. But then we wouldn't know anyone who has pelvic pain because it's such a taboo subject. Anyway, Cristiano Ronaldo, Novak Djokovic. I'll mention a bit of Lionel Messi in there as well. Why not? That's it for me. This is Friday. No, I am Carl. This is a Friday takeaway. Catch you next week. Thanks very much. Yeah.